Today, we find much written and spoken in religious circles existing that the establishment of the modern Israeli state is the fulfillment of end-of-age prophecy concerning the regathering of Israel. The facts in this chapter we are studying are to prove that this is a false belief and that the bulk of the people being regathered or gathered to Israel to state today could not possibly be Israelites as a race of people. Since the seed of Abraham is genetic, and since these going to Palestine are multiracial, thus eliminating them as biblical Israelites, the only common connection is the Jewish connection of religion, sympathy, upbringing, or some false pseudo-racial association. Rather than being Israelites, these people are more likely to be the descendants of Esau. Prophecy declares Esau's descendants will be brought together for destruction, centered in Jerusalem. Many of the prophecies concerning the fate of Esau, also known as Edom or Idumea or Mount Seir or Teman, have been presented in the chapters entitled, Could the Modern Jews Be Israel? Furthermore, the timing of the Israeli buildup is incorrect if it is to be portrayed as the regathering of Israel. When we consider other events associated with the return of the nation of Israel to the land, we find the sequence does not fit the Israeli state. In this chapter, we will examine the timing factors. When writing from evangelical, Zionist, and Messianic Jewish sources are examined, a limited number of scriptures quoted by these groups are repeated over and over again to support their views claiming that the Israeli state is a fulfillment of prophecy, when in fact it is not. Well, first of all, who is to be regathered? Again, we depend upon the scriptures, and we start with the Old Testament. Those who do not believe the Old Testament is valid today are wrong. The New Testament must agree with the Old Testament. If you believe something from the New Testament that does not agree with the Old Testament, then what you believe is a wrong interpretation of the New Testament. The very titles that we find in the margins of our popular Bibles, such as regathering and Jews return, suggest correctly that this all pertains to Israel only. However, the popular acceptance is that all converted people are true Jews, meaning true Israelites, because they think the Jews are Israel, meaning the same thing, but they are not. This is a consideration that has been disproved in earlier chapters of this book, mainly on the basis that the Bible is a book about Israel and is addressed to Israel only, including the so-called Gentiles of the dispersed house of Israel and Judah. Well, what saith the law, the Psalms, and the prophets? Because that's where we must start. Considering this subject, we cannot ever move away from the foundation given by Scripture. This is that New Testament fulfills the Old Testament prophecy as given in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. All through the Old Testament, we find references to this promise of national gathering being made to the people of Israel only. This selective aspect of the gathering is a fact of Scripture, even though this may be difficult to accept because of the sentimental objections that arise from our preconditioning and religious upbringing or education. There are scriptures used to suggest that all the families of the earth are to be blessed in Abraham, but it has been demonstrated that all the families does not mean all people of all races. Without going over all this again, it might be well to ask how Israel could have been blessing to all the nations God told Israel to destroy. How could Israel destroy a nation and that be a blessing to that nation? There are many similar contradictions. For example, in Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land, the earth, of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Something is obviously wrong with the traditional teachings. The regathering as found in the law is addressed specifically to Israel as a people and not to any other race. We read in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 6, "And thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, that then will the Lord thy God turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the uttermost part or outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. And the land thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed. This is the original promise made to Israel. This has not changed. And there are things that must be noted. The people in this passage are Israel, not anybody else. Number two, God is repeatedly presented as the Lord God of Israel, not the Lord God of others. In number three, God does the gathering. They do not come back unconverted under their own steam, like the Israeli Jews of today. Number four, it is from thence, not of all nations, whether also speak of place. Number five, the time is given as when thou, Israel, shall call to mind all the things presented at Mount Sinai, and set their mind to return to the Lord and to obey his voice. There is no evidence of this in the Israeli state today. Number six, the place is given as the land which your fathers possessed. Note all the New Testament references to the fathers. It is a specific geographical place on earth. It is the land where the fathers of Israel lived. Number seven, the fulfillment is isolated to the children of the fathers. It is not the mythical spiritual children of Abraham, in the sense that Galatians 3:7 is commonly taught, because the fathers includes Isaac and Jacob. This passage in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 6, gives us the time of this event and goes on to tell us that Israel's enemies will be cursed and not be blessed. This racial separation is always present. God promises to circumcise the heart of his people and their seed so that they love the Lord and his law. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep," John 10:7. Jesus does not say that he is the door of other races, other than the sheep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep, but it is not recorded that he gave his life for goats or anyone else. Israel is often spoken of as being the sheep of his pastor. From here we go on to find the very same message that the Apostle Paul teaches in Romans 10:5-13, that is so often quoted in religious gospel preaching. Paul is addressing Israelites only who are stated to be brethren, kinsmen of the womb. These were of the same kin of the house of Israel who Paul said also knew the law, Romans 3:19 and Romans 7:1-4. The law was given to Israel only. 1 Chronicles 16:35-36, "And say ye, save us, O God of our Israel's salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for ever and ever." In all these verses, kindly take note of the separation of identification that is made by the pronouns. See just who the gather us refers to, and understand how this cannot even be expected to include others. Note, God is always stated to be the Lord God of Israel. In this song of David, we find the prayer of Israel's gathering together. It's prayed by David on behalf of Israel. This regathering has not yet happened. In the New Testament, Jesus taught Israelites to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the hope of Israel under both covenants. It is never presented as being the hope of all races, even in the New Testament. Nehemiah 1:8-10 says, "Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heavens, yet will I gather thee from thence and will bring thee into the place that I have chosen, to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by the strong hand." Some might like to argue that this reference only to those of the house of Judah who returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. But the original promise was made to the whole nation. And in this verse, the gathering is from nations in the plural. Again, the action relates to the redemption of Israel. It is through the Redeemer of Israel, Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. The place is always a specified place. It is not a condition, as many New Testament teachers suggest, but a physical place that God has chosen on earth. It is the land which our fathers possessed. The regathering in the Psalms. In Psalm 102, verse 21 and 22, to declare the name of the land, Lord of Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdom of Israel to serve the Lord. In Psalm 106:47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name. Psalm 105, verse 42-43, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. This psalm is addressed to, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. It speaks of the everlasting covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and refers to the land of Canaan. Psalm 107, 2 and 3, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. In verse 7 of this psalm, it is God who leads Israel into the city of habitation. This psalm is about the gathering of all the redeemed of the Lord from the east, west, north, and south. It is always to a place. It is centered upon Jerusalem. This psalm ends with the following, Psalm 107:43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What are these things they will understand? Are they not to do with Israel and her gathering? Would it be improper to suggest that if we do not observe these things, we must therefore be lacking in understanding? Jesus pointed out the same thing in John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a master in Israel, about knowing these things. It is absolutely necessary to understand the earthly things about Israel as a racial entity before we can even understand heavenly things. The facts concerning the gathering of Israel are most important. What about the prophets? What do they say about the regathering of Israel? Isaiah 11:9 through 13. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall be for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles or the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros, from Cush and from Elam, from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Twice in this section there is a phrase, in that day. So it does not apply to any other than the time specified. This is the day when the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah is telling us a basic fact about the house of Israel, who are at enmity against the house of Judah until the time of the regathering of Israel. These two houses or parts of Israel must exist today as specific entities. The gathering is clearly spoken of as being of two parts, that come from among not of all nations, but from all nations, in the four corners of the earth. If Israel has now been taken over by the church, however could this prophecy be fulfilled? We will see a lot more about this separation between Israel and Judah as we go along. What do the end of age teachers say about the matter? Nothing. If we take this literally, we see the route Israel is to take back to the promised land, as well as the timing. So far men do not go dry shod over the Egyptian sea, verse 15. A highway expressed in verse 16 as being from Assyria is not presently manifest. The time of in that day is the time of the latter days, when Jesus comes to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, Isaiah 11:4. Reading on, we find that the time is when the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, Isaiah 35:1. The fact that the Israeli state has organized the watering of desert area does not prove anything in itself. Do the same in the interior of Australia, and that desert will also blossom and rose. This chapter ends with, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their hearts." Those going to Palestine today are not returning this way. They do not make any claim of being ransomed. Isaiah 40, verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Isaiah 40 and verse 11, "He shall feed his flock," that is Israel, "like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those with young." Could this possibly refer to the first advent? All flesh has not yet seen the glory of the Lord, but when he returns, every eye shall behold him. In the word of the Lord, we do not see a multiracial mix going back to Palestine. The glory of the Lord is revealed to all the flesh of Israel, and then he gathers his lambs. Although there is no in that day in this passage, the times are the same. The expression "in those days" or "in that day" refers to the time approaching the close of this age. What does it say in Jeremiah about the regathering? There is so much in the book of this subject that it is difficult to select quotations. In chapter 3, there is the same separation of Israel and Judah, with the same time feature as given by Isaiah. These two factors are so important, yet they are what the popular ministers have to admit to support their traditional teachings. The present Israeli state is a misfit in terms of the timing. Jeremiah 3:18 says, "In those days," that's the timing, "the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers." Once again, we find the gathering is to the same specific land area, and a repeat statement about the time of the gathering of Israel as being in those days. This is a time when Israel will no longer be walking after the imagination of their evil hearts. In this verse and in this chapter of Jeremiah, we again find the same reference to the differentiation between Israel and Judah. They are separate parts of Israel. For example, see Jeremiah 3:11, 3:18, 5:11, 11:17, and various other scriptures. Again, it has to be pointed out very clearly that something is very wrong with the popular doctrines that do not allow for this. There are many scriptures in this book of Jeremiah alone about this matter. Let us look further into Jeremiah for the gathering of those two houses. Jeremiah 23:3, "And I will gather together the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have written them, and will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So I like to say that this applies to Jesus' time, but Jesus did not reign and prosper as a king at the first advent. Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Note the unusual Israel and Judah separation, and again, that it is in the day when Jesus reigns. Verse 7 and 8, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth which brought up and which led the seed of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and there they shall dwell in their own land." It must be noted that the gathering is only of the seed of Israel. That is the children, the descendants of Israel. Also, the return is from the north country, singular, where Israel is to be found. Do our modern prophets agree with Jeremiah? Jeremiah goes on to say something sad and searching, yet most significant. Jeremiah 23:9, he says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For both prophet and priest are profane, yet in my house have I found wickedness, saith the Lord." We can now examine the full passage above and see if today's prophets are equally profane in not believing what God says about the gathering of his people. This is the context in which Jeremiah is speaking. Should we feel as bad about it as Jeremiah did? These pastors and teachers with the universalist all races doctrine are the pastors who are said to be destroying the sheep of God's pasture, verse 1. These are hard words, and God pronounces woe on all and every one of these pastors who will not teach what Jeremiah is saying about the gathering of Israel and Judah. It is time for a personal checkup on what we believe about this to avoid this woe. First of all, those gathered are a very small remnant of the two houses, all Israel only. Secondly, they are only from God's flock, Israel. Number three, Israel as a whole are gathered from out of all countries where God had driven them. But Israel is not on the racial content, of the races of those countries. The timing is in the days of the righteous branch. This is not the first advent time, because Jesus did not yet sit on David's present throne on earth. He is yet to return to David's throne over Israel. Judah and Israel are separate entities until this time. Their present enmity has been stated clearly. Do we believe this? It is in his days that the two entities officially reunite. The middle wall partition that the Apostle Paul talks of is then broken down under the New Testament, that is made with Israel and Judah alone, Hebrews 8 and 8. And then Paul says, all Israel shall be saved. In prophecy, the two parties are never other than Israel and Judah. They are never Jews and Gentiles in the ways that is commonly presented. There is no line of Old Testament prophecy that the popular teachings could have shown to fulfill. The people concerned are always the seed, genetic, of the house of Israel. The land is that which was given to their fathers, genetic. There are not two promised lands, nor is their promised land a place in which saints are raptured to be for the millennium. Israel is to dwell in their own land, the same one that was given to their fathers. They are regathered from out of the nations of earth and not from some place outside of earth from where they supposedly might have been raptured. Let us look at this passage from Jeremiah again and examine our hearts. Are we those upon whom God says he will bring evil? Are we those who caused my people Israel to err? Do we speak a vision out of our own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord? Do we say to our people or think no evil shall come upon you? Have we yet marked his word and heard it? Indeed, look at the rest of this chapter of Jeremiah about teachers and pastors who carry on, stealing my words every one from his neighbor. Is what we teach or believe just what we learned at Bible college or at church? Will we yet continue not to accept what God is saying through the prophets about the regathering of Israel? Will we continue to ignore the separation of Israel and Judah? Will we continue to ignore the time when Israel is regathered and confess that this is not what is happening in the Israeli state? If we do not yet do so, we still have the rest of the prophetical books to contend with and be convinced, for all tell the same story. Let us probe this subject further in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, 8 through 11, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither, and they shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. He that scattered Israel shall gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. We find a place that they come from. This is another subject, as in the north countries. Women still are getting pregnant at that time, and life on earth continues. They were not raptured away anywhere, nor do they come from a place where they neither marry or are given in marriage. It is the return Lord who leads them back. This scripture again shows the timing of this gathering. The flock is made up of two parts. Remember how Jesus said he and the other sheep that had other sheep other than the Judean fold? One is Judah, the other is the house of Israel. The two add together to make up the Jacob we see in the verse above. It is only Jacob Israel, both Israel and Judah, that is spoken of in scripture as being redeemed. It is never a multiracial church. Note again, only Israel, was given the law, and therefore only Israel needs redeeming from the broken law. In Jeremiah 31:2, it is Israel who finds grace in the wilderness. It does not include anyone else. Could all the factors in this chapter be spiritualized away?